Norm is trying to...
That sounds like a game show.
Yeah, I think it is. Was that the dating game? The dating game. How's
that?
You
came home from school to watch the dating game. I could tell.
Yeah. Sick days, you know, nothing but network television growing up. Good morning, everybody.
Welcome to the Leader of the Band show, led by that guy you just heard, Scott Lawrence, with the dating game show. Well respected as a band leader in his day and a community leader today. Do you like that?
That was good, Bill. Thank you very much.
Well, you taught me how to do that.
All right.
This is show 4052. I'm still going for 5,000.
Mm-hmm.
Did 5,000 TV shows. Got to do 5,000 radio.
Right.
Scott, nice to have you in the studio today. We have a number of topics to share during this hour. So let's get right to it.
Well, we're going to share a lot of accomplishments in the state today, but we're going to start off with Dakota State University. We've got President Yose Marie Griffiths with us. President Griffiths, we're delighted to have you in the studio. You finding time to be with us is, you know, your time is very precious. And sometimes, you know, with President Griffiths, her body has a hard time catching up with her brain because it's always about four or five steps ahead. So you know how that goes. So we got her here today.
But you always get two-for-one segments with her.
Yes.
I mean, if she's here,
yep.
We're going to put her to work.
Yeah, we're going to put her to work, and then the second half, we're going to bring in another guest, and you'll hear about him when we get there. But first of all, President Griffiths, were you down in Sioux City for the NAI Final Four?
How could I not be there?
Yeah.
I had to be there. I actually stayed over in Sioux Falls, so when the weather got bad, I only had to go to Sioux City. I didn't have to come all the way from Madison. But, oh, my gosh, what a run our women's basketball team had. Just amazing. This was the first time we've ever made it to the Final Four. We've made it to the Elite Eight before. First time in the history of the North Star Athletic Association that one of their teams has gone to the Final Four. And we beat the number 3 seed. We beat the number 2 seed. We beat a number 1 seed. And then we were beaten by another number 2 seed who went on to win the whole
tournament.
Clark. Yep.
Well, you know, you probably would have loved the Lady Trojans to win it all. But I'll tell you what, just being there is an honor and accomplishment.
It was. And the crowd that we had with us was amazing. I know some people took several hours to get there because of the whiteout conditions. We were the only school there with a student section.
Really?
Which was amazing. We had a bunch
How'd they
of
get out of school? I thought you
Spring
had...
Spring break.
Spring break. You had that figured out, didn't you?
Yeah, we did.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay, so the students that weren't down south were in Sioux City.
Absolutely.
Good
cheering,
deal.
Cheering.
Good.
It was great. Great atmosphere for us. A lot of excitement in Madison. We're going to have a celebration on Thursday for them. Wednesday, I think.
Excellent. And that celebration will be held where?
It'll be at the Field House at 4:30.
Okay. All right. So welcome or congratulate the Final Four team, the Lady Trojans. Great year. Congratulations on that. Now, along with that... speaking of athletics at Dakota State University, you have quite a bit of construction activity happening on campus. Can we
absolutely.
Can we talk about that?
Yeah,
okay.
We can.
She's got her hard hat on, by the way.
You need it. Right now, we've slowed down because of the weather, but we have a partially finished new track with a partially finished turf soccer field inside. And as soon as the weather warms up, those two will be finished, and we'll be running on them by the summer. So we're doing track on the new track, and we'll be playing football on the soccer turf next season.
Oh, okay.
That's the first piece of this. Meanwhile, as soon as the ground thaws, don't know if it ever will, but as soon as it does, we'll start work on the football stadium and the athletics events center, which is sort of the hub of all of the athletics activities on campus.
Can I ask a dumb question about athletics? Does it help the rest of the picture as far as the college atmosphere, young people wanting to be engaged, involved, teamwork?
Absolutely. I think it's an essential part of college life, actually, that students love competition. Our students love competition.
You love competition.
Of course I do. Of course I do. But it's good for the students, too. I mean, they learn a number of skills while working in teams, whether it's a traditional athletics team or whether it's a cyber games team for the United States. I mean, they just love to compete, and they compete well, and they do well, as our women's basketball has just shown.
Yes. And those new athletic facilities, much needed.
Absolutely, yes.
At Madison. But you will have a very major complex with the facility and the new stadium.
Yes. New football stadium, facility with suites and weight room, training room, locker rooms, etc. That's going to attract more student athletes to Dakota State because we'll have mm-hmm. state-of-the-art facilities. We will be able to host youth tournaments in these facilities. So it'll attract young people to Madison and their families, which is good for Madison. Not to mention, it's a very early kind of recruitment play for us. We anticipate that the football stadium and the athletics event center will be open in the summer of 2024.
Okay, a year from this summer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right.
But there's a lot of work going on just north of campus. We're bringing all our athletics facilities together into one large complex.
That'll be really good for the student athletes and for the campus.
Yeah, absolutely.
As they say, you know, like the women going to the NAI tournament, winning is directly proportional to student involvement and hence enrollment, correct?
Yes.
It does.
Yes.
It does play
and
a role.
And planning.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. The other thing we have in that new athletics event center will be an esports stadium.
Ah, yes.
Well, okay, what is that?
Esports is sort of like recreational games, and they are multi-user games, so our teams play other collegiate teams around the country.
Yes, it's a big time sport. And if you don't know that, the esports, It's gotten to be a big deal. I mean,
esports worldwide, I believe, is the largest watched sport in the world.
Okay, and speaking of esports, which is driving enrollment, how does enrollment look for DSU this year, and how does it look going into next year?
Enrollment's looking good. We continue to go up. You know, we've gone up consistently for the last 20-something years, partly because our degree programs are fairly focused into the cyber tech arena, and we anticipate continuing to grow. We have a new push with the Cyber 27 initiative we have, so we'll be making a big push to enroll more people in computer science, cyber operations, and artificial intelligence, all growing areas, large numbers of jobs available in the United States and in the region, and we'll be growing those jobs as well.
Fantastic. Okay. Part of this whole cyber thing is getting young people involved and having an understanding of what cyber really means early in life. So Dakota State University will be rolling out, or has already rolled out, but expanding the Cyber Academy.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about that.
The Cyber Academy is a program for juniors and seniors in high school to earn dual credit while they're in high school. We have been given permission by the Board of Regents to offer courses in the majors. Typically, other institutions offer general education courses, but we have courses in the majors. Our juniors and seniors will be able, to take one full year of college credit, and then they can transfer those into any university. Some of them may come to DSU for cyber-related programs. Others may go into a STEM program in one of the other institutions in the state. But it's an opportunity for young people in any size of high school to have access to those more advanced courses. Normally, it's only the larger school districts. So, of course, we were experimenting. We were piloting this with the Sioux Falls School District, Madison School District, Harrisburg. O'Gorman is now a participant. But we want to go out to the smaller high schools across the state and give every high school student an opportunity.
A lot of times those smaller schools are forgotten. What you're saying is you're important, too.
Absolutely. And we have people who are interested, but there may only be one or two people in a high school class in a high school.
But you got to start with one or two.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
Just, you know, it's just there's a lot of really sharp kids living out in our small towns.
Yeah.
And Cyber Academy is a way for them to get a taste of it, correct?
And it's going to be a true academy. There are going to be all sorts of activities beyond just the class sessions. We're going to have tutoring for them, mentoring. We're going to have summer camps for them. There'll be opportunities to do research and internships, to get professional exposure, to have professional mentors from the field expose them, and also to earn digital badges as well as their credits towards a degree.
So the Cyber Academy, does it roll out in full force this summer?
It will roll out. It won't be everybody at once. It will be rolled out by choice by different school districts, and we're also opening it up to homeschooled high schoolers.
So if somebody had how would they get involved in this? If we've picked the interest of somebody that said, a parent that says, my kid's really interested in computers and all this kind of stuff, or a young person has indicated that, what's the process for maybe getting involved in Cyber Academy?
Yeah, I would be in touch with Cyber Academy at DSU.
Cyber Academy at DSU. Simple.
We have a dean who's been hired, Phenicia Homan. She's very energetic, came to us from Southeast Tech, and she's hit the ground running, and she's all over the state talking about this. I believe dual credit enrollment opens up on April the 1st.
Okay, there you got it. Okay, coming up next segment.
Well, you want to set it up?
Yeah, we're going to bring in Stacy Koistra. You may know him as our city attorney, but he's got a new position coming up April 24th, and we're going to visit with him, and we're going to talk about Cyber 27 and just what this big deal in Sioux Falls is with the Applied Research Corporation.
Welcome back. It's the Leader of the Band Show. I'm Bill Zortman. Who are you?
And I'm Scott Lawrence. And now we're going to add another piece of this whole picture.
I suppose it's some tall guy.
Yeah, it's some tall guy. Yes, it is some tall guy. But you've probably heard discussions. I'm sure you've talked about the new DSU expansion to Sioux Falls out by in the Sanford complex out there called the Applied Research Lab. Joining us will be the Chief Operation Officer as of April 24th. You may know him as the city attorney, but it's Stacy Koistra. Stacy, welcome this morning.
Thank you, Scott. It's nice to be here.
Good to have you. And congratulations on the new gig.
Thank you.
As we were talking earlier, you know, citizens of Sioux Falls, rest assured, Stacy was great, but Dave Feifley coming in will fill the role, and you can move on to the new one, so we're in good hands, right?
Yes, indeed. Yes.
Look at him smiling this morning. He must be enjoying this.
Yeah. Well, you know, hey, if we can't have a little fun, what's the point of doing
Absolutely.
This? All right. What was the impetus for you to move into working with Dakota State University, or more so the Applied Research Corporation, Stacy?
Well, Scott, as I learned more about it, there was just a remarkable compatibility there. I had the opportunity to meet Dr. Griffiths. Initially, the topic came up as a city-related project. The city is a contributor to this effort, as is, of course, the state and Mr. Sanford. So.
Yeah, it's, you know, you're getting in on the ground floor of a big deal. As the governor would call it, the next big thing in South Dakota, the Applied Research, we're going to come back to that, but the Applied Research Corporation is a part of a bigger initiative that has been launched by Dakota State President Griffiths called Cyber 27. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yes, thank you, Scott. Cyber 27 is a five-year initiative to create the jobs that our graduates will be able to go into immediately, to keep more of our South Dakota graduates in South Dakota doing excellent work and contributing to national security problems. So our Applied Research Lab is doing the research for national security and defense. And a lot of those our students go to the coast to do that kind of work. We want them to do that work here in South Dakota. So we're building a building that will accommodate those researchers. And we're also enhancing our capabilities, building capacity back in Madison to graduate more students. So the Cyber Academy is one of the pipelines for that. And then we'll see significant growth, I hope, over the next 5 years in the number of people we're able to graduate.
What's your hope? What's your goal on that?
Well, we think, between 600 and 800 students just in those fields alone. Overall, that would take us to between 3,900 and 4,200 students. I think we potentially, as an institution, could potentially grow up to 4,500. If we start getting towards 5,000, it's going to be almost impossible to do. We'd need too much infrastructure to support that larger number. But, 4,000-ish is, I think, where we'll end up. And we created the Applied Research Corporation because in the end, if we are successful in everything we want to do over the next many years, not just 5 years, we could potentially have 1,500 cyber researchers working on national security problems right here in South Dakota. And no state governor wants to have that many state employees added to the rolls. So we created a nonprofit corporation, the Applied Research Corporation, to run and operate the labs for us. So all the personnel will be Applied Research Corporation personnel.
So back to Stacy. Obviously, you still have the duties with the cities, but I'm sure you've been following the process very closely on progress. The Applied Research Corporation will run the Applied Research Laboratory, which we were referencing, which could have up to 1,500 students.
Researchers.
They've graduated. They're in there. They're researchers, and they're doing security work, right? Stacy, where are kind of the plans, if I may ask, where are we kind of at in this process? As you said, it's city, it's T. Denny Sanford, it's the state. Where are we at in the process with a progress of the building and those kind of things? May we ask that?
Yes, you may. And, of course, all of this is very early on, as you talked about the ground floor piece earlier. Big picture, I look at this as an opportunity to come in and start the process of implementing the vision of this remarkable lady. And so that's the plan. That's going to involve a facility, obviously. But with that comes other things, which are employees, right? The researchers that we're talking about, the administrative support personnel with that, because this will be more employees eventually than even the city of Sioux Falls has in its government. And the third component of that is the contract piece, the work that actually is being done, the research that's being conducted, again, in the interest of our national security.
Is it okay? So, Stacy, you'll go through. I know architectural work is being done, planning is being done. Eventually, when that building is up, is it like legal to ask? Is it legal to ask? I know there's certain terms we can't use, but is it legal to ask who, just for an example, might utilize our researchers in this building? Entities. Is that legal to ask?
That's who might.
Yeah, who might.
Yes.
What are some examples? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, again, primarily what we're looking at would be Department of Defense related work, and then civilian government agencies primarily.
What's a civilian government agency?
Oh, that would be your, CISA, which is essentially the digital cyber version of FEMA. And maybe even the other three-letter agencies from the NSA to FBI or whoever the case may be.
Okay. So might there ever be any opportunity to work within the military-industrial complex, say Lockheed Martin or those kind of things? Are they involved in that? Is this a concern for them?
It is. The large defense contractors are doing work for the federal agencies and under very large contracts, and we are already working with several of them.
Okay.
We got an audience out there that is asking two simple questions. What model and why Madison, South Dakota? What would you tell them?
Why Madison, South Dakota? Because we have a depth and breadth in cybersecurity education and research. We built, with our first major gift from T. Denny Sanford and Miles and Lisa Beacom, we built the Mad Labs, and part of that was a lab which was outfitted for doing this kind of high-end national security work. The Applied Research Lab in Madison. The Applied Research Lab can only host about 100 to 125 full-time researchers. And there was so much interest in the fact that we have that facility, so you're able to do things that otherwise you have to go to the coasts to conduct that work or to a major military base. So people are really wanting, it's the facility, it's the license to operate that facility that DSU holds, and it's the people we can populate it with that all come together to say, that's why Madison, and that's why Sioux Falls, that's why South Dakota.
One more question. What keeps you on task, and are you behind on anything? I can't imagine her, Stacy, can you, being behind on anything? She's probably 2 weeks, 3 days ahead.
Yeah. She is one to keep up with, that's for sure. And we were talking before the segment about just my energy and excitement at the opportunity to try to catch up here over the next month or so.
Well, good luck catching up.
That's what I was going to say.
Let's just say, if you can get, Stacy, if you can get two steps behind her, you're doing well, okay?
Agreed.
You know, it's like, It's like she's in the end zone already, and I'm still out dodging around the 40-yard line. So, you know, that's just the way it is with her. But, Stacy, your vision, you accepted this job. It's a big opportunity. It's a big role. Kind of just your vision. What do you see in the future? Is that a fair question to ask?
It sure is. And, you know, for me, day one, it's establish this corporation, right? I mean, when you think about what that takes from building a nonprofit that's got a lot of aspirations, a lot of vision behind it. For me, I'm going to rely heavily, frankly, on the experience I had with Paul Ten Haken and with the city of Sioux Falls. I mean, he's had his One Sioux Falls plan and the culture emphasis that he's had for the employees there. And I'm going to borrow some of that because I've learned a lot watching his leadership, working with him on a regular basis, and taking that into what's going to be a comparably sized entity, again, from an employee basis. And start to implement that vision so that we can pursue, you know, between my civilian and military background, I have a keen interest in this succeeding. And so I view this as an opportunity not only to take Dr. Griffith's vision, but to, you know, blend in my day-to-day operations to execute.
All right. If, back to President Griffith, if, Stacy, thank you, is a great answer. If people are more interested in what's going on, students, parents, being a part of DSU. President Griffiths, how can they get more information, or what's the process for them to get that information?
I think the easiest way would be to contact my office at DSU.
And how do you do that?
Office of the President at DSU.edu. Yeah.
That's pretty simple.
Yeah.
Or you can go to the website.
Yes, you can go to the website, dsu.edu.
Yep. Dsu.edu.
And you'll answer.
Yes.
You'll make sure that you get back to people, because this guy is now on team. You know, he's going to make sure that we're taking care of everybody that comes along.
Well, I do know that having Stacy on board is going to help you a lot.
Absolutely.
Because that'll free you up to be recruiting more faculty and cyber academies and all the things you got going. So, President Griffiths, Stacy, thanks for joining us this morning. It's been a pleasure. It's exciting. The future of South Dakota is in your hands. Or a part of the future of South Dakota is in your hands.
As you know, it takes a village, or in this case, a state.
Yeah, yeah, it does. Thank you very much.
Thanks. Legislative session next. Welcome back to the Leader of the Band Show. I'm Bill Zortman, and I really believe that this guy may enjoy leading bands as much as he does in following a legislative session.
Well, I think the legislative session is a very interesting time in our state, and it's fun to watch our legislature work. We're going to set the stage this next half hour on some legislative updates, and that'll lead into the Ag Show, even, where you're going to pick it up.
Crabtree's going to stay around.
Yes.
You think we can keep him after school?
I think you can keep him after school. But first, we have a very special guest.
Is it this Mortensen guy?
Live from Pierre, the House Majority Leader, Will Mortensen. Good morning, Will.
Top of the morning, gents. I just got to correct you. I'm standing over in Fort Pierre. I'm back on the proper side of the river.
Oh, okay. Excuse me.
Excuse us.
Fort Pierre. you know, how could I have made such? I know where your office is, and I know where your ranch is. So, you know, that's something maybe people don't know about Will Mortensen. Okay. He's this smart, smooth, polished individual.
Does he wear boots?
That's our House Majority Leader. But Will, something tells me you know how to punch a cow and do all that ranching stuff, right?
Well, that's it. I mean, I spent last weekend out. We're kind of in the heart of calving season. We calve heifers, which is first-time cows, in February, actually. And so I missed that in large part this year, which is something I caught health and the guys about all weekend. But now through June, I'll be out there pretty regularly as we're finishing up calving and giving the spring shots and getting everything branded and ready for summer pasture. So, well, I'm moving into a different part-time job for the next couple months.
Hey, you need to know that you've been infiltrated this morning by the Senate. I mean, this guy.
Uh-oh.
Crabtree just stepped in. Yes.
You know, we're trying to keep a mic away from him for 30 minutes.
This was a real first-class interview until, no, I'm just kidding. The case is here. Hey, Will.
Somebody else from Madison.
Will, first of all, I just want to wholeheartedly compliment you on decorum and things that really move through session, in my estimation, very smoothly and efficiently. Give us kind of the rearview mirror of the session, in your opinion.
I think you touched on it, Scott. I mean, that's really the thing I'm proudest of is I think there's a lot of things that we got done that were very good for South Dakota. We had a productive session. We helped out on college affordability. We provided good, strong funding to our schools and our teachers. We took care of nursing homes and folks who can't take care of themselves. But as much as what we got done, I'm proud of how we got it done. I mean, I, from day one, kind of told everybody I wanted to usher in the new old-fashioned way, which I took to mean classic conservatism, the kind of leadership we've had in South Dakota for decades that's put us on firm footing. And a lot of that stuff I learned from Governor Dennis Dugard and Lieutenant Governor Matt Michaels, but also from watching. I mean, I remember when Dave Knutson was the majority leader in the Senate and how he applied intellectual rigor to each bill and argued hard for them, but never personally and never really through emotion. And I just thought, boy, that's how things get done in all of South Dakota. It's how they ought to get done in the South Dakota Capitol, too.
Well, you definitely followed that critical path this year. Did you bring any bills this year?
I did. You know, I brought two or three. A couple of them are pretty darn boring. One of them, though, is that I think we made the biggest stride in combating foreign ownership of our ag land that we've made in a few decades. I brought a bill, 1189, that didn't get all the headlines and wasn't subject to as much gnashing of teeth, but made a really significant stride in making sure that if there's any shell companies that are owned by the Chinese or by foreign owners that we don't want, that we start to figure out who they are and that we might be able to do something about it. And so it was maybe a little bit in contrast to the bill the governor brought in that, you know, it was key to me that we worked with farmers, ranchers, and the ag groups statewide to craft something that would be effective in getting at this problem of foreign ownership of ag land, but that it not be disruptive to our farmers and ranchers or our business climate. And so I'm awful proud of that. That got through the House and Senate, and the governor signed it about a week or two ago.
That was the big one. Any others that you want to mention? Or,
you know, one thing that I've been working on is that living in Pier, three blocks from my house, Capitol Lake, where I went a lot as a kid, and now I bring my two kids. I've got a 5-year-old and a 2-year-old. And there are monuments there. We get to talk about our heroes from the armed services and the first responders, firefighters and police, all of whom are memorialized there. And we've got a problem in that fountain in that the casing underneath it has corroded away and it's turned into a sinkhole risk. And I'm the kind of guy that says, let's not wait till there's a sinkhole. If we've got a problem, let's fix it. And so I brought a bill to get the money and get some water funds allocated to really getting the foundational issues taken care of at Capitol Lake, but then making it a fitting complement to our Capitol. I mean, that's really a pretty building, and it's really something our state should have a lot of pride in. And I think Capitol Lake should be a similar complement to that building. So I brought a bill, and it came through the legislature thanks to Senator Crabtree's guidance over in the Senate.
Senator who?
Through. Exactly. You got the right sheet of music. Yeah. Anyway, but that's one that is a project that I know is near and dear to the people up here, but I think it's really something that if you come visit, you'll be impressed and pretty proud no matter what part of South Dakota you're from.
Well, a couple of things. Veto day predictions. And one more hope that you really had for the House in 2023, but you didn't quite get there.
Sure. Veto day predictions. You know, I think that UCC bill is probably not going to make it. I mean, there's a lot of bad information out there. There's a lot of people who are really confused. There's a lot of people who think that bill does things it doesn't. And, that bill stands for the proposition that, you know, Bitcoin can be traded and it's worth something, but it's not money. It's not currency. I mean, El Salvador wants it to be their money. I don't want it to be America's money. I mean, I kind of feel like the emperor might have no clothes on that crypto deal. And so I thought the UCC changes were common sense. I think they make us have a better business climate. A lot of people are confused about that, though. A lot of people are saying things about it that just aren't true. And when people are confused in the legislature and when they have bad information in the legislature, they tend to vote no. And so that's, I think that one's probably that veto will get sustained. That thing will not become law is my prediction.
Okay.
In terms of the others, they start in the Senate side. And so we'll see if they come across. I don't know. I wouldn't hazard a guess in the other two.
Okay.
That's in terms fair. Of other vetoes, who knows? I mean, those are. I talked to the governor last week. It sounded like she hadn't made up her mind on the tax cut thing, and we'll just see. I mean, she's got her decision to make. Of course, we've already made up our mind.
Yep, we know that. We know that. But as I understand it, the governor signed the budget. She did not veto the budget, but she can still line item the 4.5 to 4.2 tax cut, correct?
Exactly, yeah. She can veto that, and I'd be disappointed if she did, frankly. I mean, no one gets 100% of what they want. Legislating is a team sport.
That's Governor Noem you're talking about. What do you mean?
Well, no, I know. And one thing about it, we've worked really well together, and she charted the course for us. But it's important when you're legislating that you not get too – you keep your eye on the ball, right? And what's the goal? Cutting taxes. And that's what we've got in that bill. And was it in the exact form I wanted? No. But if you ask Casey, it's not in exactly the form he wanted. But the point of it is that we're putting over $100 million back in the taxpayers' pockets. And that's something that we can't lose sight of. And so it's my hope that the priority is the tax cut and not, you know, because it wasn't our plan or somebody's particular plan, that we not throw the baby out with the bathwater.
Well, the veto day comes up, which day? March?
It's
Monday.
Now it's a Monday. Yep.
Monday. Yeah. Well, it's coming up. All right. Let's go back to Bill's question, Will. What's something that you had a hope for
that it didn't happen?
That didn't happen that might resurface?
Don't forget that now. Come on now.
Yeah, yeah.
You've always been a good interview, so don't forget that very important part.
Yeah, I won't. One thing about it, I don't have a very good answer on this. I would say that the one thing that didn't happen is that, you know, we had 40% new members in the House, and we had, like, is it 100%? 95% new leadership. And so that meant that a lot of us were showing each other grace and making a few mistakes and really working through it. And I just think we can improve the process a little bit in terms of, you know, I think we followed the governor's overall goals and plan and made a lot of progress in areas she identified. I'd really prefer to work in a little bit more collaborative fashion with the governor if we can. Now, that's something that requires two willing partners, but I'm sure telling you that that I'm a willing partner. If she wants to work on stuff that'll help the state, I'll be signing right up to help, but it's got to be a little more collaboration would be something I hope we can get done next year.
Okay, got a question for you. You and this guy, what is his name that's your counterpart in the Senate? How do you guys really get along? Do you just kind of treat each other like it's your time to buy the beer at the end of the week, or what do you do?
One thing you got to realize about Casey Crabtree is that it's never his turn to buy the beer. I mean, I don't know that I've seen that guy drink a lot of Bush Light, but never one that was on his tab.
Huh. You're the wrong guy then, Will, because Casey always buys for me.
That's correct, Scott. That's correct, Scott.
It's a good working relationship. But one thing about it, we approach things the same way, which is let's look at the impact on Main Street in our towns, or if it's an ag bill, how is this actually going to affect our farmers? And we're both, it seems to me, more interested in what a thing does than what a thing looks like. And like I say, that's the way that I think South Dakota's legislature has functioned for decades. And I think that when you start out by respecting each other, respecting the process, and having that similar approach, then you get good results, and I think we did this year.
Yeah, I think you did, Will, and I just want to say I've known you for a long time, and, you know, we go back a number of years, but I want to congratulate you on the job you did this year. I want to thank you for your hard work. I know it's a lot of time, and I would bet you that after veto day is done, a certain Mr. Zortman will probably be back in touch with you and get back on to get your comments on that. So we thank you for the time this morning, and hope wish you the very best. Thank you so much.
Hey, appreciate it, fellas. See ya. Yeah.
Schoenbeck, next. Somebody was saying he's a good blocker. I don't know about that. Lee Schoenbeck is with us. Lee, as Scott was describing, would take you to the 2023 legislative session, and he would really just make it a hoot. So we're going to make it a hoot for this legislative session this morning.
Well,
what do you think?
Well, you know, Senate Pro Tem Lee Schoenbeck is with us. I think he's probably on vacation, much deserved. But I don't know that for a fact.
I'm not on vacation. I'm driving around Watertown right now looking at 3 feet of snow everywhere.
Oh, okay. Well,
then, get rid of the snow.
Yeah, we'll go on vacation. You deserve it. I mean, you know. But Crabtree is in the studio with us. He just wanted to hear you, Lee. I mean, after that brilliant podcast last week, Dakota Scout, I mean, you know, that was great. And we said... We said if I was a running back, we'd always want Schoenbeck to be our lead blocker because it wouldn't matter who he was taking on, he'd take him on. So
there'd be no laundry called on him.
Yeah,
either.
Yeah, right. Lee, talk to us a little bit. Give us an overview of the session in your opinion.
Well, let me hit some of what I view as really positive things. First off, the Senate really worked as a team, and that's not an easy thing to do. I credit particularly Senator Crabtree. Apparently that northern football experience, he put that degree to use, encouraging teamwork, and that was very valuable. I also think that our appropriations committee, and when you've got leadership like Gene Hunoff and Brian Breitling, these are tough, bright people that know how to get the job done. You have to have really good appropriations leadership in a session like this one to have things work the way they should for the citizens of South Dakota. And then I want to say one last, you referenced that podcast, and one of the, what I think, most important points I made on that podcast that nobody repeats because it's probably too geeky, is this. This Senate performed efficiently, more efficiently than any Senate session I've been a part of. And you might look at that and say, well, who cares? What the heck does that mean? Like, here's what matters. It matters because if you're getting your calendar cleared every day, if you're getting your bills out of committee or killed when they should be killed on time, it keeps your calendar shorter so you have more time to make the decisions that you have to make. You have better debate. You're not trying to run 25 bills in 2 hours. You get that kind of mess when you don't have an appropriately functioning organization. This Senate really, really did its job in a timely fashion. There were no late night sessions of any type because they got their work done. And that's a big deal for the citizens of South Dakota. Better decision-making.
Absolutely. When you got to cram 25 bills through a two-hour session on the floor, you know they're not going to get the time they deserve.
Oh, too many things get slipped through intentionally or otherwise. They don't get the critical look that they need. And I'm so impressed with the breadth of the experience we have in the Senate because when you're listening, you say, wait a minute, I didn't think about that on that bill. And you get that different perspective. We've really, you had Will on and he talked about the challenges with having new members. I get to sit in the recliner and talk about the beauty of being surrounded by an experienced seasoned team. And that's just a joy.
Okay, so overall was a fantastic. I mean, not everybody pays attention to it like I do, but I was watching every day and reading, and things did go smoothly. I went through appropriations process last year, and I know that wasn't any fun. But this year, I heard it was just a fantastic group, and you're so right. I want to compliment all the appropriation committee members on their work. What was some of the things, or a couple of things that didn't go maybe the way you wanted, or that didn't work out correctly this year?
Boy, I'd be hard pressed.
Come on, you're going to have to go to confession if you don't get it right here.
I got to go there anyway. It's Lent, but I just got to tell you, I don't go into a session with a huge list of agenda. I really don't. I just care. I care that we're fiscally responsible. I care that bad ideas die, and that hopefully the good ones get promoted. That housing bill getting through was a huge deal. There were a number of bad ideas that died. I really was not disappointed by the session. One thing I look at is how many times does one house dump on the other house by sending over legislation that they know isn't any good, that needs to die. They just don't have the courage or the wisdom to do it. I saw that happen so few times that from a process procedural person, I'm telling you, the citizens of South Dakota are well served by this session. Of all the bills we passed out of the Senate, there were only two that I thought, what are we doing? And they both died in the House. I just think, and by the way, many things that I didn't agree with passed. That's not my measure. It was a good session. I got it. You know, our Senate is made up of what I would call real conservatives. There's no radical. There's little interest in radical agendas. They're very cautious. They're fiscally conservative. They're fiscally responsible. That's just a treat to work with. I've been in other kinds of sessions. This is a joy.
How many sessions have you been a part of, Lee?
Well, if you count the three when I was an intern, I think this was my 16th.
Wow. Gosh, thanks. Thanks for that service. You know, I know that the pay is really great. So, I mean, you've probably got a lot stashed in the coffers. That's a joke, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. These people are basically, they're donating their time. Let's go to, I want you to explain, there's been much discussion, I would say, at our Chamber of Commerce and Sioux Falls legislative issues and in speaking with other banking officials, this UCC bill that the governor vetoed. Can you shed any light on that for us?
Yeah, that's unfortunate. You know, she got flack from this Glenn Beck, Tina Mullally, a House member, of marginal ability from Rapid City, ginned it up on this national radio show. And this Glenn Beck, who, like, nobody in South Dakota cares about Glenn Beck. And he took after the governor. I mean, really, who is Glenn Beck? You know, he's a washed up guy got kicked off television. But he took after her, and she unfortunately, I mean, it's unfortunate that she vetoed it. I mean, there have been times when the legislature has been able to bail those bad decisions out. This time, I think because of the momentum behind these tinfoil hat people, I don't think that the House will override, and I don't think the governor is going to get bailed out on that one. And that's unfortunate for South Dakota because, I mean, I just got an email from the ag equipment lenders. These are the John Deere's and the big, you know, that keep our ag world going. Nobody pays cash anymore for a combine or a tractor. They're concerned about this failing because it interferes with the ability to do business across state lines. And my fear is, I mean, it obviously has to pass eventually. It just gets harder when you give steam to these tinfoil hat people that somehow this stuff they're making up is true, none of which is true, that it'll just make it harder for the legislature to do their job next time.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what, Lee, congratulations on a job well done this year. Stellar work by our legislature, the Senate, the House. And I want to thank you for just taking a few moments before you go on vacation to join us on the studio this morning.
I'm going to coffee. I'm not going to
Okay, well, all right. Well, you know, you deserve a vacation, my man. All right, thank you. Senator Schoenbeck.
Well, we're down to our last segment, and somehow I traded you out of Crabtree for our number two in
the
statewide ag show.
You stole my guy.
Well, you know, he's here now. You got a minute and a half.
All right. Back to the leader of the band show. Thanks, everybody, for listening today. But we want to finish up with Casey Crabtree. The Senate Majority Leader, somebody who I have a great amount of admiration and respect for, and obviously the session played that out. Casey, give us a few highlights of the session from your view before you go into the ag session next hour.
Yeah, I would just go back to this. We talked about teamwork. You listened to a couple of good friends of mine and colleagues that serve and do a great job in the legislature. And it really was about teamwork. And the folks at home are probably sitting there saying, well, you guys should work well together. Why hasn't it? Well, for decades, it hasn't. And here's what happens when it does work right, when people do work together and when they stay focused on tackling the toughest issues and when they really want to deliver something for people back home, you get the very best legislative product. And I think that's what we did this year. You know, I met with our caucus at the end of the session, and I said, you came with 15 priorities that you collectively agreed upon, and you got all 15 done this year, plus a tax cut.
Give us a few of those priorities.
Oh, there's a number of them, but I'll just give you one right off the bat that I like a lot, and that was the tuition freeze. And that really helps with our workforce issue, which is our number one issue that we have in our state. And what that does is, you know, help our kids who are at our tech schools and our universities, helps them fight inflation and the interest rates that they're dealing with. It gives our industries a chance to get these kids and keep them here. And hopefully they get married, have lots of kids, go to school here. That's what we want. And so I think that's a huge thing for South Dakota. We've done that in the past. I hope we continue to do it in the future if we can afford to, because that is a investment that we will get 10 or 15x return on.
Absolutely. The other big workforce thing, you guys slammed that that housing bill through really rapidly.
Yeah, and I think that's something, you know, certainly we look at down here in the southeast corner of the state. We need infrastructure that can lead to housing. We know that that's part of our workforce challenges, but we need it in every community, whether it's Sioux Falls or Arlington. It just depends on the scale of the issue. And so handling that with my colleagues, and you had a couple of the really good ones on with Will and Senator Schoenbeck, we had that thing set up to get through there and get it to the folks that can get that money back out on the street and get that investment made. And again, that's another one where if you want to run government like a business, you know you're getting a return on that deal, and that's what we were looking at.
Well, congratulations. It's a short little segment here, Senator Crabtree, but we thank you. And thank you for coming on the next hour as you take Bill and the team through the ag programming.
We're going through the statewide ag network. You've never been there before. There are some boogeymen out there that are going to say, Crabtree, you did what?
I'm not worried about it. I'm looking forward to talking agriculture.
All
you're
right.
Going to love it.
Well, we appreciate everybody being with us today.
Yes.
We'll have to compare notes in April.
Yes, sir, Mr. Zortman.
Our time is up. Thank you for yours.
Kello, News Talk 1320, KELO Sioux Falls, FM 107.9, KELQ Flandreau Sioux Falls, and online at kello.com.